Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Who wants to get back to fear free? Amen? I know I do. You know, that's how we're made. That's how God wants us to be. And it's important for us always to remember that fear is the opposite of faith. Where there's no fear, and where there is fear, that means that we've left God out of a situation. You know, when I was praying about this series that we're doing on fear, and you know, fear just, it stops us from doing things. It stops us from living the life God has for us. It ruins relationships. We talked about that last week. When you got a lot of fear going on, you keep things, you keep secrets, you won't let somebody in, you won't let them see the real you. And you know what? Relationships don't work like that. And you know what? I don't want you to find that out the hard way. We've got to be, relationships are based on honesty and trust. Amen? And so today, I was thinking about this message on fear, and when we're thinking about an area where we have fear, an area where motivation is coming from a place of fear, really we've left God out. We've left God out of it. We're not realizing it, but we're not realizing that God can get us through that situation. God can get us through whatever's going on. And so I want to encourage you, as we're talking about fear these last couple weeks and today, to just really recognize the power of fear, the destructive power of fear in your life. Because it comes from the enemy, it doesn't come from God. And the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. Doesn't that sound like a better way to live? Amen. Amen. And so if we've got fear in our life, we're not letting the love of God in there. We're not saying, God, come in, help me in this, help me see it for what it really is. It's something that you can get me through. It's something you can help me overcome. It's something that's not going to ruin my life because I've got God in my life. Doesn't that sound good? Amen. You know, no matter what's knocking on the door, when you answer it with faith, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. No matter what's coming on the phone, no matter what somebody has to say, when you respond with the power of God, when you respond with who you are in Christ, when you respond with what the Bible says, you're going to be okay. Right. But we got to quit running scared from stuff and deal with stuff. Look at your neighbor and say, we got to deal with some stuff. And so today we're going to talk about, this is really one of my favorite portions of scripture in the Bible, because sometimes I love, you know, when we as people, we're super nice. I mean, look at your neighbor. Don't they look nice? You know, or if somebody said, you know, well, some of you are like, I'm not looking over there. They don't look nice, right? But sometimes when Jesus would respond to people, it would just be so in his parables, you know, and it was, you know, he's saying like how things would be. It was so harsh. And you think like, man, that was rough. I mean, remember when Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and then he sank and Jesus came up and pulled him out? What was the first thing he said to him? He says, Peter, oh, you of little faith. He was the only one that got out of the boat, but Jesus still said, you have little faith. I mean, we would have been like, good job, man. You're the only one that got out of the boat. Good for you. Great effort. Yay. But not Jesus. Jesus was like, oh, you have little faith. Because Jesus was, he was, of course, nice and kind, but Jesus spoke the truth, and sometimes the truth is harsh. Amen. How many know that? Sometimes the truth, Amen. Sometimes the truth hurts. And so, but we still got to hear it. That doesn't mean we don't have to hear it. So we're going to be over in Matthew 25, but while we're getting there, just let me talk to you for a couple minutes here. We're talking about fear, and we're talking about today is overcoming the fear of failure. And I'll tell you why this is so important, because when we first started the series, I said one of the things that fear does, it paralyzes us, makes us stop, makes us not do what God's called us to do, makes us not enter in, makes us not talk to people. It does all kind of stuff, but it paralyzes, it stops us. And the fear of failure is really one of the greatest weapons the enemy has and he's using. And you know, we picked today to talk about the fear of failure because we're stepping out of the boat as a church, amen? And we got a big announcement today, and we're going to make a big change, really. We're making a big change, and nobody's leaving, nobody's coming, nothing like that. Just, I don't want you to think that. Somebody wrote me a message and said, because I had asked them about a realtor, and they said, so you've asked me about a realtor, and now you said there's a big change. Are you moving? Because if you're moving, I'm moving with you. And I was like, no, I'm not moving. That's not going to happen. But anyway, but we're making a big change here, and we're going to announce that, so I want to get all you guys ready. But it takes faith to do that, because it's a lot easier to just leave things the way they are. It's easier to just stay in the box, leave things how they are, leave things how they're working, and be like, okay, that's good. But if God's called you for more, guess what? You got to do more. And to do more, you got to make changes. Amen. And so anyway, here we go. But here's a quote for you. The only way to avoid failure is to never strive to remain fixed where we are. And you know what? How many know that's not how the Bible tells us to live? The only way to avoid failure is to never strive to remain fixed where you are. Just means you're not going to try anything. You're not going to do anything different. And you know what? Everybody experiences failure. Everybody has blown it. Everybody. We could pass the mic around and say, hey, come up, tell us about your biggest, failure where you really just blew it. You just did absolutely the wrong thing. We would all have a story. How many of us have we failed in communication? How many of us have ever said something and as soon as we said it, we thought, what in the world? I'll tell you what I did one time. Now, this is years ago before I was in ministry. I was very young and I was not in ministry. I knew my friend, she was expecting a baby. And she wasn't a close friend, obviously, as I tell the story, but it was someone that I knew, and so I ran into her, and I said, when are you due? And she said, I already had the baby. And I was like, and she looked at me like, if looks could kill, I'd be dead. Let me give you a piece of advice. If you don't know that you know that you know somebody is pregnant, don't say anything. It's just not good. But, you know, that's a communication failure. You know, and that's probably the most minute failure I've had. I've had huge failures, and I'm sure all of us have had failures. But you know what? Everybody fails, and everybody experiences failure in some way. And fear paralyzes millions of people. In fact, if you give in to the fear of failure, you're never going to become all God wants you to be. You'll never have many dreams, whether they're recreational, in your job, spiritual, things you've always wanted to do, but you're afraid to try. Fear will paralyze your potential. And so we want to take care of this. We want to recognize the fear of failure and say, you know what, I'm not going to let that keep me from stepping out and doing what's in my heart to do. Because what's in your heart to do, the Bible says that God wants to give you what? The desires of your heart. So, you know, a lot of times we're thinking, well, I'm waiting on God. But you know what? My brother used to say this all the time. He'd say, listen, you're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you. God's waiting on you to step out. And so we're going to read over in Matthew 25 through 26. And I'm going to tell you a little story about here. And this is when, and the fear of failure has been around forever. And Jesus tells the story in Matthew 25. He tells the story of the master who had three servants. He had three servants. He divided his income among them and says, I'm going on a trip. I want you to take my money, and I want you to invest it. So here's what they do. The first guy takes it, he risks it, and doubles his money, and the Bible says the master is satisfied. The second man takes his money, he invests them, he takes risks and doubles his money. The third man, somebody say third man. The third man is afraid of failing, so he digs a hole in the ground and buries it. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. But here's what I love. Jesus' reaction to the man who had the fear of failure and gave into it. In Matthew 25, 26, it says this. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. He was afraid. So he went out and he hid the talent in the ground. His master replied, this is what I love. You wicked, lazy servant. Isn't that harsh? You wicked, lazy servant. And when we consider this harsh reaction, that's what God thinks. Really, this is, you know, Jesus is telling this parable. He's talking to people. He says, listen, I'm giving you these talents. He's the master. He's a representation of the Father. And he says, I want you to do something with them. And so the one guy, he takes a risk. He steps out. Everything's good. It pays off. The other guy takes a risk. Steps out, everything's good. The third guy, he doesn't want to take any risk. He doesn't want to step out. He doesn't want to do anything that takes him out of his comfort zone. So he buries a hole and he digs a hole. He buries it in the ground. And then he says, well, I didn't want to lose it. I didn't want to mess it up. So that's what I did. And so the master's response to him is pretty eye-opening, I think. Jesus doesn't want us really to play it safe. Jesus doesn't want to take the talents that we have, because you know what? This is an illustration of God has given you talents. Do you know how many people can sing but don't get on the praise team? You know how many people are great with kids but they don't teach in children's church? Do you know how many people are talented, have gifts and abilities, but they don't use them? Because they're afraid. What if I'm not good enough? What if nobody likes me? What if I fail? Well, you know what God's response to that is? You wicked, lazy servant. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be called wicked, first of all, right? You know? And I certainly don't want to be called lazy. Now, if you call me wicked and lazy, I'd be like, you know. But if my master calls me wicked and lazy, that's a whole nother story. But what is this cause from? Why are we not stepping out and using the gifts and the talents that God has for us? Because we're afraid. We're afraid of people. We're afraid of failure. We're afraid of what people think. We're afraid it won't work out. We're afraid I won't be good enough. There's a whole list of reasons why we're not doing what God's called us to do. But you know what? Jesus wasn't interested. The master wasn't interested in the reasons, was he? He just said, you wicked, lazy servant. God is telling us very emphatically here that he doesn't want us burying what he's given us. Now, this talent, it applies to everything God has given you. God doesn't want you to bury what he's given you. He wants you to use it. Amen? And you know, and that applies to talent. That applies to you. You have a personality. You have something to give to the body of Christ. And so you can't bury yourself in the pew. You can't bury yourself in coming in and then running out right after service and be like, well, I got mine. That's not the life God wants you to live. And you really, we got to ask ourselves, why am I doing that? The answer is usually, I'm going to say always going to be, just like this guy, I was afraid, so I hid my talent. I was afraid. We got to ask ourselves, what are we allowing fear to keep us from doing? And we got to overcome it. Amen? We just got to overcome it. And so I just love how Jesus says that harsh, the master says it, you wicked, lazy servant. Now don't be calling anybody that. But here we're going to talk today about how to overcome the fear of failure. We're going to look at this. Remember, everybody fails. It's universal. Let's not make a big deal out of when people do fall, because you know what? We're all going to. Right? And so, let's just remember, everybody fails, it's universal. If we had a club for failures, we'd all be able to join. Number two thing we were going to look at today, we're going to use scripture for all these just to kind of give us some faith about it. Realize it's not fatal. Messing up is not going to kill you. All right? It's not going to kill you. It's not going to kill you when you fail. And number three, we're going to recognize that we can learn something from it. You can learn something from your failures. Next thing we're going to do, we're going to redefine failure. Because you know what? Really, well, when we get to it, I'll tell you, I want to jump ahead of myself. A lot of times we're failing and not even realizing it. And then another thing we're going to do to overcome failure is we're going to resist comparisons. Resist comparing ourselves to others. Because you know what? That is a recipe for a disaster. The Bible never tells us to compare ourselves to one another. Never. The only one that we're supposed to hold ourselves to is Jesus. Amen? And so number one thing we're going to look at is everybody fails. You know, it's a starting point to remember. We got to say, you know what? It's not that big a deal. Everybody fails. It's universal. There's a study being done that shows that the failure rate of human beings is 100%. I'm just kidding. There's really not a study for that. But you know what? If we heard that, we'd all be like, yeah, oh yeah, there's a study. 100% of humans fail. Because really, okay, over here, how many of you guys have ever failed at anything? Raise your hand. Now you're failing at honesty. You're failing at honesty. Now over here, how many over here ever failed at anything, ever messed up, screwed up, just didn't do the right thing, didn't add right, didn't do something? Everybody. So there we go. We've just done a study. 100% of human beings fail. But the Bible tells us in James chapter 3, verse number 2, it says this, we all stumble in many ways. We all stumble in many ways. Romans 3:23 out of the Phillips translation says, everyone has sinned. Everyone falls short of the beauty of God's plan. Everybody fails. If you're a superstar in baseball, that means every 1,000 times you go to bat, 700 times you strike out. Isn't that amazing? Those are the superstars. If you're in the NBA, they say you miss 50% of your shots if you're at the top. But you know what makes them superstars? They just keep going. They just keep going. You know what? If you've lost your job this week, you got fired, they say that nearly everybody's going to get fired sooner or later. It's not the end of the world. It's not fatal. You don't die from being fired. But you know what? You can learn something from it, and you can and reach out to God and let God help you overcome what has happened instead of just stopping short and saying, I'm done. I failed. I can't do anything else. We got to go. If you've dug a hole and you buried your talent, it's time to go dig it back up and say, all right, Lord, I don't want to be wicked. I don't want to be lazy. I'm going to use what you gave me. Amen? Number two thing we're going to look at, failure is not final. It's not fatal. It's not going to kill you. The fact is, the fear of failure is worse than failing itself. Proverbs 24:16 says this, for even though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. Oh, isn't that good? If you've fallen or you know somebody that's fallen or just, you know, failed at something, just they had a big plan, had something big they were working out, and it just failed miserably, it didn't work, nobody came, nobody showed up, nobody bought it, nobody agreed, nobody whatever. It just didn't work. You need to send this scripture to him and say, you know what? A righteous man falls seven times. But you just get back up. Just keep getting back up. If we were, you know, we've tried so many things here at church that have not worked. That just have not worked. But you know what I always say? I'm not going to always do it the same way all the time because that doesn't work either. I say this, you can ask any staffer, say, listen, let's pray about it. If we have peace about it, if we feel like that's what God wants to do, us to do, let's do it. If for whatever reason it doesn't work out, we stop doing it. We're not married to it. That's my saying. We're not married to it. You know, we're not bound to it by covenant law, and we must stay with it forever. You must continue this ministry, even though, you know, maybe a meeting or I don't know, you know, something that we've done. It just doesn't work. Nobody's into it. Nobody's coming. It's not producing fruit. Well, you know, just stop doing it. And let's try something else. It's called growing. Amen? It's called trying things. Aren't you glad you go to a church where we're ready to try something? Instead of saying, listen, you know, even with the way that we dress, you know, I remember it wasn't that long ago where it was, you know, suits, pantyhose, high heels every Sunday, no matter what. If you wore jeans to church, you were getting a stink eye. Aren't you glad those days are over? Aren't you glad that, you know, that we really don't care what you wear? It doesn't matter. You wear whatever you want, you know? We had a lady in here in a bathing suit one day. We're like, oh, you know, whatever. You're hearing the gospel, that's all that matters, right? It doesn't matter. And so, you know, I'm just so glad that, or even in the music, aren't you glad that the music, that we change with the music, you know, or change with times? You know, music is different now. Doesn't mean that old songs aren't great songs. They're great songs, but time changes and culture changes and life changes. And you know what? We need to change too. We'll never change the message because it is eternal. It does not change. But the method sometimes has to change. You know, we were joking in a staff meeting the other day, and years ago when we were in Haverhill Town Hall, and we had the words to the song, and they were with an overhead projector. Anybody remember those? And actually, it was our first overhead projectionist was Carrie Richards, Pastor Norm's oldest daughter. And she was only like 8 or 9 years old. And she would come and she had her little dress on, her little shoes, or her little socks, and she would stand up there, and she had the little overheads, and she'd put it on. And when the verse changed, she'd pull it off and put another one on. And you know, and that was cute, and that was great. But if we were still doing that, people would be like, hello, get with the times, right? Get with the times, get a projector, for goodness sake, you know? Aren't you glad you're not holding a hymn book? Turn to page, whatever, you know? I mean, things change. We can't hide ourselves and say, oh, no. We don't want to risk anything. We don't want to risk anything, so we can't change. And you know what? You can't either. Life changes. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day just about ministry. And, you know, sometimes we're in a season of life and God has us there and we're being used by God. But then as our skills grow and our leadership ability grows and just, you know, our things change. Seasons change in your life. You know, everything in the Bible is about seasons, and our life has seasons too. And so I was talking to this person. I said, listen, don't be afraid of changing, of going into a new season of ministry. Don't be afraid of that. You know, I'll never forget when I was a youth pastor, and I loved being a youth pastor. It was a great time in my life. And I think about it, and sometimes I wish I still was that youth pastor, just to be honest with you. It was a little easier back then. But I remember it was January of 2004. And the Lord spoke to me very clearly. He said, your season has changed. It's time to let go of this. It wasn't because of I wasn't good at it. It wasn't because it wasn't working. It wasn't because of anything other than a season of my life was coming, a different season. And so I couldn't be afraid, like, oh, no. I don't want to change anything because this is what I know. This is what I'm doing. This is what I like. When God has a change for you, you got to change with it. Amen? And you know what? I took that change. I went to Pastor Mark. I said, hey, listen, you know, the Lord spoke to me. It bore witness with him. And so I stepped out of youth ministry. There was no reason except God said. And really, that's the only reason you need.
Amen?
Amen. God said. And so, you know, but it was very shortly after that that Pastor Mark became very ill. And had God not orchestrated that change when he did, I wouldn't have been ready for what God had for me later on when it was time to do everything. And it was a change. But, you know, God is Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord who sees ahead and provides. Let's keep going here. So failure is not final. Just because something's not working out doesn't mean it's the end of the world. And sometimes we got to remind ourselves that. Again, even though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. Say, I'm going to rise again. I'm going to rise again. You know, history books are filled with biographies of failures who failed, got up, kept going, and eventually made good. Here's a couple of them. I love these kind of stories. George Washington lost two-thirds of all the battles he fought in the American Revolution. Can you believe that? And eventually, he won the war and became president. Let's all be glad he did, or we'd be speaking in British accents, right? Amen? Napoleon graduated 42nd in a class of 43. He then went out and conquered Europe. Babe Ruth hit all those home runs, right? 831. But in his lifetime, he struck out 1,330 times. For years, he led the league in the record for strikeouts. Maybe you lead the league in a record somewhere, but doesn't mean that there's not greatness around the corner from you. Amen? Mickey Mantle took his team to the World Series seven times and hit over 500 home runs, yet he struck out two-thirds of the time he was at bat. It's not fatal. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9 says this, we must never get tired of doing good, because if we don't give up the struggle, we shall get our harvest at the proper time. Isn't that good? We must never get tired of doing good, because if we don't give up the struggle, we will get our harvest at the proper time. I'll tell you, you know, in ministry, when I first, you know, and you always, the very first ministry I ever did was children's ministry. And this was years ago when we were at the Haverhill Town Hall, and we had our children's ministry consisted of a galley-style kitchen. This is when the church very first started, a galley-styled kitchen, and I took all the kids of all ages into the kitchen where there were no seats. We sat on the counters, and I took all of them in there. So I had a baby in there. I had actually Christina Weddle as an infant. I had the Weddle kids. I had Chris and Jared. And just me. That's it. On Sunday night. I probably don't need to tell you that it was an epic failure. I mean, I just was not very good at it. So you know what I would do? I would take all the kids and I'd go outside and I would walk down to the gas station with them, get them all a candy bar and walk back and we'd just sit around. True story. I was not very good at it. And so then I thought, well, you know what? It's because of the atmosphere that I had. I mean, all I had was a kitchen. What can you do in a kitchen with all the kids? Come on, right? So then when we got a bigger place, we rented out this church on a military trail. We rented out. We were so excited. And so then, you know, by now we have a children's ministry. We have a lady that does it. And she recruits me. She recruits me for children's ministry. I'm like, yeah, I can do this. I used to do it. You know, I was like one of the first people to do children's ministry here at BBC. You know, I say that with pride. And so she puts me up in the nursery. Now we got a nice nursery, has cribs, and all it has in it is nursery kids. Epic fail. I'm just not good at it. I'm not good at it. I'm watching the clock the whole time. Like, how long could this service possibly go on? I mean, those are my thoughts, and that's not good for a children's person. Children's people are supposed to love being back there, and they don't care what time it is. I just wasn't good at it. It was a failure. I was eventually not put on the schedule. True story. It just wasn't my thing. It was a failure. But you know what? I'm really glad that I didn't just stop there and say, well, you know what? I'm just not called out for ministry. I'm just not called out for nursery. It's not my thing. I can do it if I have to. God will anoint me supernaturally to do it for that one service if it's absolutely needed. But it's just not my thing. But you know what? Maybe you've tried something and it's been a failure. You might want to look at it and say, it's maybe just not my thing. God may have something else for me. But don't take your talent and hide it and say, well, I failed at that, so now I can't do anything. Right? You know, even with jobs, you can't, you know, maybe you lost that job, but just because you lost that job doesn't mean you're not going to be a success at the next job. Failure isn't fatal unless you let it be. So we got to never get tired of doing good, because if we don't give up the struggle, what does the Bible say? We shall get our harvest at the proper time. You know, it's amazing how quickly a lot of people give up. They give up too soon. It's amazing to me how quick a lot of people give up on marriage. You know, when you read in the news somebody married like less than a year and they're already getting a divorce, it's like, seriously? If everybody that had a rough time their first year got a divorce, there'd be no marriages. There'd be none. There'd just be a whole bunch of one-year marriages. That's it. Because that first year for most people is tough. I mean, you're making a huge change in your life. You're going from not living with anybody to suddenly there's somebody there like all the time. You wake up, they're there. You go to bed, they're there. They're there. Yep. That takes a lot to get used to. It's amazing to me how quick people give up on stuff. But, you know, ask yourself this question. You know, when you look at little babies, how many times do they fall before they learn to walk? A lot. I mean, it's a good thing they got Pampers on, right? I mean, it's just they're constantly boom, boom, boom. But they just keep getting up. And you know what? I believe that, you know, God designed us the way that we are. He could have designed us where we walked immediately, like horses. You know, you ever seen a baby horse born? As soon as they're born, man, they got them long, gangly legs. Just, you know, just very short after, they're up. But they're walking. But people, we're not designed that way. God made us. He made us so that learning to walk is a little bit of an effort. We don't remember it, but I believe it trains us for life. You're going to fall down in life. But you know what? Just like when you were a baby, you just get back up. You just get back up, and you keep going. Don't get weary in doing good, because you will reap your harvest at the proper time. How many got a harvest coming? Amen. Amen. Everybody's got a harvest coming. We may have really screwed up, but you know what? We still got a harvest. And we need to remind ourselves of that. We need to look in the mirror and say, you know what? You're right. I have really messed up. Because the enemy's always there to say, boy, you've screwed up. You know what? You're exactly right. I have screwed up royally. I have screwed up big time. I have done the wrong thing. I have said the wrong thing. I have been at the wrong place. I have failed miserably many times. But I still have a harvest because Amen. Of whose I am. Amen? Amen? And I will not quit. You got to say that too. Let me tell you the story. This is so good. When he was 7 years old, his family was forced out of his home because of a legal technicality. He had to work to help support his family. At age 9, while still a backward, shy little boy, his mother died. At 22, he got fired as a store clerk. He wanted to go to law school, but his education wasn't good enough. At 23, he went into debt to become a partner in a small store. 3 years later, his partner died, leaving him a huge debt which took years to repay. At 28, after developing romantic relations with a young lady for 4 years, he asked her to marry him. She said no. At 37, on his third try, he finally was elected to Congress. 2 years later, he ran again and failed to be reelected. He had a nervous breakdown at that time. At 41, adding additional heartache to an already unhappy marriage, his 4-year-old son died. The next year, he ran for land officer and lost. At 45, he ran for the Senate and lost. A few years later, he ran for the vice presidency and lost. At 49, he ran for the Senate again and lost. And at 51, ready? He was elected president of the United States. Anybody want to guess who he is? Abraham Lincoln. I mean, talk about getting up, right? Abraham Lincoln is probably one of the finest presidents our nation has ever had. He was obviously one of the ones who sought, equality in races. I mean, the man was just an amazing man, but look at all those failures he had. I mean, after all those, how many of us would just be like, let me put my head in the oven, right? You know? But he kept going. He understood the principle that a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets up. Amen. He gets up. You got to just keep getting up. Failure is not fatal. We could look at his life and say it was probably a continuous failure, but you know what? He kept going and became one of the greatest presidents in American history. I mean, everybody knows about Abraham Lincoln. Right? Amazing story. The fact is, listen to me, failure is not the worst thing that can happen to you. It's not the worst thing. So don't blow it all out of proportion. Everybody fails. Maybe you have a failed marriage. Maybe you feel like you failed at parenting. You weren't the parent that you were supposed to be or whatever. Don't let those things, the past, define your future. Let God restore you, help you, redeem you, put you on the path to go where he needs you to go. Let him put in you what you need. Don't quit. Say, don't quit.
Don't quit.
Let's look at the benefits of failure. Sometimes like, whoa, benefits of failure. There's a couple. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that in all things, say all things, God works for the good of those who love him according to his purpose in all things. You know what? God's gonna help us, and he'll take whatever is going on in our life. And you know what? Even though we failed, I mean, I can look back on some of the failures I've had in my life and just mistakes that I've made. That, you know, God doesn't do it. Say, God doesn't do it.
God doesn't do it.
God's not in the business of making you fail, but he'll help you take those failures, and they can strengthen you. They can give you wisdom. You know, through my failures, there's some things that I've learned. There's some things that I've learned, don't do it that way. There's some things, you know, I've learned through failing in this, that whatever I compromise to keep is always gonna get me. I've learned that because I've compromised to keep some things. I've made compromises in situations where it's like, it's not that big a deal or whatever. And you know what? I've learned that doesn't work. I've learned from that failure. I've learned from relationships. You know, in the past, before I got my head on straight, I learned that a relationship with an unbeliever doesn't work. Doesn't work. When you're single, you say, man, I want to serve God. I'm talking to single people in here. If you're already in a relationship with somebody who's not a believer, then you need to believe God, and God's going to give you the grace to be in that relationship if you're married, because you're married now. You made that commitment. And God will help you, and God can use you for the salvation of your family. Amen. The Bible says that he's a household savior. He will use you. You need to hear stories about Smith Wigglesworth's wife. She married him. He wasn't a believer, you know, and she just kept living for Jesus, kept showing him the example. You know, long story short, he became born again through her example and became one of the greatest evangelists and miracle-working men of God to ever walk this planet. You know what? Thank God his wife didn't give up on him. And she didn't become like him. She didn't become like him. But you know, if you're single in here, take it from my epic failures in relationships, it's just not the way it's supposed to work. There are some things God's word is so clear on. Why do we think we will be the exception? You're not going to be the exception. You're going to learn that God's word is always true, every time, all the time, with no exception. The Bible says, how can two walk together lest they agree? What does light have to do with darkness? Not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. So listen, if you're single in here, learn from other people's mistakes. You know, I tell these young people that come to, you know, in youth group, I tell them, listen, you want to come to church, you know, and this is an offense to anybody. This is just life sometimes. But, you know, sometimes that guy or that girl, they look so good and they seem so nice, but they don't want to come to church. And I always tell them, listen, if they don't want to come to church now when you're dating, they're certainly not going to come to church when you get married, right? And so you need to ask yourself a question. You want to come to church alone for the rest of your life? Or do you want to be wise and do it God's way? Right? How many of us wish we could tell people who haven't made the mistakes we've made, they haven't made them yet, how many of us want to just hold their shoulders and shake them just a little bit and scream into their face, listen to me? I've tried that. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. We just got to pray for them. But you know what? For you and I, let's learn from the mistakes that we've made. And let's just say, you know what? Yeah, you know, I maybe that wasn't the right thing to do. Or for me, a lot of times this wasn't the right thing to do. But you know what? God helped me. God helped me use those mistakes to get strong in my fortitude, to get strong in my resolve so that I could hold out for the real thing. So that I could hold out for who God had for me and not a fake counterfeit that wasn't what God had for me. And so he gave me, through the wisdom of the mistakes I made, I had the strength to do that. And I'm glad I did because Mr. Wonderful is sitting on the front row. Amen? But had I not learned, I would have just kept trying to do it the wrong way. We got to learn a thing or two. Let's not make the same mistake over and over again. Right? You know, so often in relationships, people are like, man, these relationships never work out, no matter who I date. You know, I always want to say to them, well, there's a common denominator in all these situations. It's you. Right? Or somebody says, oh, my finances. Let's learn from our financial mistakes. Let's learn from being overextended and not make the same mistake again. Right? There is a benefit to failure. We can say, hey, I'm going to learn a thing. And so, you know, Thomas Edison said this. They said that he had 10,000 failures before he learned the right filament for the light bulb. He said he didn't call it a failure. He called it an education. I know 10,000 things that don't work. Right? When you fail at something, maybe God is trying to, you know, he's going to say, hey, wake up and look at that, and let's do it different next time. Let's not be stuck in the hamster wheel and keep making the same mistakes over and over again. I can't tell you how many times I've seen believers and a marriage not work out. This is the truth, just truth, you know? I mean, I know a lot of people, I'm not talking about anybody here, but, you know, where marriage doesn't work out, and the next thing you know, a year, maybe 2 years down the road, they're dating somebody just like it didn't work out before. It's like, were you not there? Do you have no memory or recollection? Do you have amnesia? What is happening here? You know what's happening? Not learning from a failure. Let's learn from failure and say, hey, I learned how not to do it, right? And then last one we're going to do today is just, let's just redefine failure. And this is such a good scripture in Ecclesiastes 3:12 out of the Good News Bible. It says this: I realize that all we can do is be happy and do the best we can while we're alive. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for you to do the best you can. The best you can. In 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul's talking. He says, I have done my best in the race. I have run the full distance. I have kept the faith. He says, I have done my best. And that's what God is looking for us to do. He's saying, look, we need to do our best. We need to go out wherever you dug that hole and bury the talent God gave you. You need to go dig it back up and say, all right, I'm going to do my best. You know, my best may not be so-and-so's best, but God doesn't compare me to so-and-so. God wants my best. And that's why it's so important that we don't compare ourselves. You know, in children's ministry, we're not all going to be Willie George. Or youth ministry, we're not all going to be Blaine Bartell. In evangelism, we're not all going to be Billy Graham. Right? We're not all, you know, in singers, everybody's not Mariah Carey. Right? You know, everybody's not her. But God's not looking for her. He's looking for you. What do you have? What do you have that God has given you? What ability do you have? And don't overlook a talent. You know, some people, you know, my mom was really good at this. I always would encourage her, and, you know, she would be like, well, I'm not this or I'm not that. Or she was always, I'm not a lot of things. And I would always say to her, and, you know, and didn't say it enough, but, you know, she had an amazing talent for hospitality. She was amazing. And you know what? A lot of people don't have that. If you were to call some of you and say, hey, we're bringing 10 people over for dinner, you'd have a heart attack. You would have a heart attack and just die right then just so you wouldn't have to do it. Right? But then there are other people that would be like, oh, fine, no problem. No problem. And we'd get to your house, you'd have something whipped up, and it would be fabulous and delicious, and you make us all feel wonderfully at home and make us feel like we never had to leave. Right? That's a gift. That's a gift. Everybody doesn't have that. Don't take, you know, when you look at your life and you think, oh, that's not important. That's not important. Your gift is important. Some people have the ability to just see things. If something's out of place, they see it. That's a gift. Some people have the ability to talk to anybody. You have the gift of gab. You can make anybody feel special and warm and inspired, and when they walk away, they feel better about themselves than when they started talking to you. That's a gift. That's a gift. And if you've buried it, you need to go dig it up. And if you say, well, I don't know what my gift is, that's one of the number one things in 301, Thrive 301. That's why we want everybody to take that class, because we help unearth your gift. Some people have had their gifts buried so long, they've forgotten what they're good at. But we help unearth it and kind of wipe the dust off of it and say, here's how God made you. As a reminder, you've got gifts in you. But we got to dig them back up and say, all right, Lord, I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to step out and I'm going to do something with what you've given me. What you've given me. Amen? Let's not be wicked. And let's not be lazy. And let's recognize why we are. Amen. It's fear of failure. Everybody fails. You know, one thing around this church, we don't make a big deal out of failures. We don't make a big deal out of when stuff doesn't go right, we're just like, well, now we know how to do it next time. If we run out of food, we're like, well, we know to order more next time. We got too much? Well, we know to order less next time. We're not going to make a big deal, because when you start making a big deal and hammering on people and you know, telling them, you know, how could you do that? You know, that's not our personality. That's not who we are. Never. Because the next time when we want to take a big risk and we want to do something big, nobody's going to have any idea. Nobody's going to want to step up because of fear of failure. Failures happen. We're going to do stuff and it's not going to work. That's just life. But let's not let us keep us from doing stuff. Amen? Because how many know we got stuff to do? We got stuff to do. We got a life to live that God has for us. And you know what? He wants to use you guys. But we got to dig up that talent and say, all right, I'm ready. I dug it up. I'm ready to go. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for everyone here that, Lord, that you would help each of us know our talent and know what you've called us to do. Lord, that you would help unearth those things that are in us, those special things in the way that you've made us. Lord, I know that everybody here has gifts and talents. Everybody here has something to give to the body of Christ, has something to give to the world. And Lord, I just pray for everyone here that if they've buried it, that they would go and dig it up and say, all right, Lord, here I am. Use me. Use me. Oh, I just thank you, Lord. And Father, I pray for all of us here that have suffered failure. We've blown it. We've done the wrong thing. We've messed up. That, Lord, that you would remind us that a righteous man falls 7 times, but he always gets back up. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What do we always say? We're either up or getting up. We're either up or getting up. All right, we're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offering. You guys ready for that? Woohoo!